He turns. He fires for the win. He's got the bucket at the buzzer.
Weber back to Bibby. Has the open shot.
Ladies and gentlemen, up on those feet. Put those hands together. And we'll meet tonight starting five for your Sacramento Kings.
Welcome to the Kings Beat Podcast. I am James Hamm, Kings Insider for ESPN 1320 and the Kings Beat. I promised we'd do something different this week, and we are. As opposed to Sean and Brendan joining me for this second podcast of the week, I actually have brought in an amazing guest all the way from Portugal. We've got Ricardo Brito Reis here with us. Ricardo, what's going on, man? How are you? It's good to see you. You were out here in Sacramento, and you were just a breath of fresh air to have here in Sacramento, and it's good to see your smiling face.
Yeah, it's great to be here, James. Thank you, first of all, for the invitation. I gotta thank you again, because you were the best host I could have had during my time in Sacramento. I was there in the United States for 2 weeks, in Los Angeles, Sacramento, and San Francisco, but mainly in Sacramento to watch Nimi play. And you picked me up when I couldn't get a ride. You did everything. Paid for lunch. You did everything. I use your material. So it's good. It's good. It was a great time. I have to thank you a lot. But I don't forget. I've never forgotten that the first time you talked about me in this podcast, you called me the pissed guy from Portugal. So I've got that in the back of my head.
You were the pissed guy in Portugal. Oh, that's amazing. So for those of you, we'll tell the story. Ricardo came out to hang out to be here in Sacramento with Nimi. And the Stockton Kings, they work out at the old practice facility at what used to be the Arco property. The building formerly known as Arco Arena, is demolished, but the practice facility is still there and the business offices are still there. So they not only practice at the practice facility and have all their weight room and all that stuff, but on top of that, all the business offices for the Stockton Kings are at that old building. And it's when you come from Portugal, you take Ubers and you do what you normally would do when you travel. Well, no one knows the address for the actual building. And if anyone has been out there in the last couple of months, it's overgrown. It's like the parking lot is trashed. And a lot of the businesses have kind of closed up around what used to be the arena, and you can't even really see it. So Ricardo kept having Uber drivers who couldn't find him and would just give up and they were just going to leave you there on the street.
It was raining cats and dogs. It was pouring rain. I was soaking wet, and the Uber driver just told me, no, it's here. The map is telling me to leave you here. Okay, just leave me here. I'll stay here. So there's nothing here. So I had to ask you to pick me up, and you were the best.
I was down at the arena, and I'm like, hey, I'm right down the street. I'll just come get you. It's not that big of a deal. You actually, Brendan lives over in that neck of the woods. And Brendan, of course, got in a minor car accident early in the season, but it took him forever to get everything cleared up. So I've made plenty of trips to Natomas to pick up Brendan, as has Frankie Cardicelli. So we know the area well, and that's a building that I drove to every day for, I don't know, 6 years. So, and the practice facility I was at all the time. But you know, when you came out here, what was your takeaway from the experience of USA basketball, of even the G League basketball? How different is it from what you experience in Europe?
Well, I got to give you context before, because I've never been to the States before. So it was my first time in the States. And my connection to basketball goes back to when I was a young kid. I played basketball But 16 years old, I broke my foot, so I couldn't play basketball anymore. I studied journalism communications, so I decided to go to sports journalism, and I've been connected to basketball ever since. So in my mind, basketball, the NBA, it's just something from my youth that brings me back to my childhood memories. So it was a big dream to go there and to watch an NBA game. But I had the chance to go professionally. I went to work. I went to do some interviews, reporting for my job. So it was I had some stuff that I had to do, but every once in a while I was inside an NBA arena and I just couldn't not be completely overwhelmed by the experience of watching the NBA game for the first time live. So, and I've seen thousands and thousands of NBA games as a fan and now working because I call games for Portuguese TV. So the experience was incredible. And for me as a journalist, the thing I cherish the most is the international and the American journalists I've met while I was there, because the conversations on the press room, before press conferences, that's something that added the most value to me as a professional. So I cherish that in a very special place in my heart. And it was a magnificent experience. I couldn't stop. I was there for 12 days and I saw 7 games between NBA games and G League games. I had a couple of adventures, I can tell you maybe, but it was a great experience. The best trip I've ever done in my life, and it was for work. So it was incredible.
That's amazing. So for people who don't know what Ricardo does in Portugal is he stays up all night long calling live NBA games in Portuguese, right? So explain what your night is and what's your total now? You're at like 1,400 games that you've called?
No, 1,200 games.
1,200, okay.
Yeah, I've been doing it for 10 years now. And it's a long story. When I was a kid, I was, I believe, 12 years old. I used to watch NBA games in Portuguese TV. We would only broadcast one game per week, and it was not live. It was always broadcasted back in the 90s on Saturday, 2 p.m., and it was a game that was played 2 or 3 days ago. So it was, but there was no internet. There was nothing. We didn't know what happened. So that was the only thing we had regarding the NBA. And the guys that called games back then, they sometimes they missed the nicknames, the players' nicknames. And I was a kid. I had a video game from the first video games that there ever was. And I wrote a letter, so a written letter, not in the computer. I wrote a letter with several pages with the correct nicknames for all 450 players in the NBA as a 12-year-old kid. And I sent that letter to the TV studio. And in one game, the broadcaster that was calling the game said, well, this week we got a letter here. We got to apologize to 12-year-old Ricardo because he was pissed. There you go, the piss guy from Portugal. I was the piss kid from Portugal. Yeah. I got to apologize because we've been missing some nicknames, and he helped us out with the list of all nicknames from all players. I would have known many years later, I met these guys in person, and now I'm doing their job. I'm calling games in Portuguese TV. So it was an incredible, incredible story. So, yeah, I stay up all night. We are 6 guys here. There's only one TV station here in Portugal that broadcasts NBA games. Not only NBA games, we broadcast EuroLeague games, EuroCup games, Champion League games. We have tons of competitions that we broadcast here. But regarding the NBA, we have always, every night, 2 to 3 games live that we broadcast. So I work almost every night. No holidays, no rest from October 15 to June, to the end of June. We are always working every night, and the games are not at 7 p.m., just like you guys there. The games here start, the East Coast games start at midnight. The West Coast games, like Sacramento, Los Angeles, they start 3 a.m., 3:30 a.m., so they finish 6, 6:30 a.m. if there is no overtime. I've done games in Los Angeles that had double overtimes. So when I get out of the station, of the TV station, I get in the middle of traffic because people want to go to work and I'm trying to get home to get some sleep. So, and then that's not my only job, because at 10 a.m. I have to be where I am now in the Portuguese Basketball Federation, because I'm the head of communications here. So that's why I always finish my NBA game saying that sleeping is overrated, because that's what I do. I just don't sleep. I'll sleep when I'll die.
That's right. You'll sleep when you die. And then on top of that, you have your own Substack, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And what is your Substack, so people can actually, if they want to check out your work in Portuguese?
Yeah, it's in Portuguese. So, but I have it's called Borracha Laranja. It's in Portuguese. It means if I can make a rough translation, it's orange leather, just a reference to basketball, to the basketball. Cool. Yep. Okay. So, and what I do is keep people posted about Nimi, everything that happens with Nimi, with the Portuguese players in Europe and all over the world, Portuguese players from the national team. We have a new kid now that is going to be eligible in the 2024 NBA draft, is considered one of the top European prospects. So he's probably going to be the second Portuguese player in the NBA. Nimi was first. And then I keep people posted about the NBA, because the NBA has grown so much here in Portugal. There, I know a lot of people that don't like or don't see Portuguese or European basketball, but absolutely love NBA basketball. And we can understand why. There's the narratives. There's the media focus is always on the players more than the team. So there's a lot of stories around the players, and that's why in the NBA markets, since David Stern was the commissioner of the league, markets the league just like no one else. So I can understand it. So it's the Substack has been grown tremendously. I started the YouTube channel. I've got my own website where people can see exclusive content. Me and 15 other people here in Portugal write scouting reports. We do everything just in Portuguese, but we try to promote basketball, because Portugal, as Europe, is a soccer country and a soccer continent. So I'm trying to promote basketball, because everything we can do for basketball is very important here, because the focus is only soccer.
Yeah, it's crazy, because I mean, of course, Nemias is your first, you know, NBA player, so you can see like why there would be some sort of disconnect. Also, you know, I love watching soccer, and I know how big it is in Portugal, how, you know, especially get to Euro Cup or the World Cup. I mean, you guys are always like a huge, huge player in everything that's, you know, in the big tournaments. But when you talk about sort of the, you know, again, what you do, staying up all night, it affords you like the opportunity to watch like some of these incredible players that, you know, you couldn't watch when you were a kid. Right. How, when you came out and you hung out with Nimi, or when you're there in Portugal and you're hanging out with Nimi, like, how has he adjusted? How has he taken in all of this stuff? Because you've been a basketball junkie. He seems like he's a kid who just all of a sudden grew and grew and grew and became a basketball player. And you know, it's sort of like it's hard to be a goalie in soccer, or it's hard to play soccer when the only position they'll let you play is goalie. And that, like, when you're 7 foot, whatever, that's all they're ever going to let him do. But like, what has been your experience of like having these communications with him?
Yeah, I talk with Nimi almost every week. We text each other, it's incredible because the main thing about Nimi is how mature he is for his age. We never had a Portuguese guy in the NBA. We had one guy that is considered the Portuguese GOAT. He was a guard. He could shoot from half court. He was an amazing player from a team here in Lisbon, in the Portuguese capital. And he had everything signed to join a Canadian team that was going to start in the NBA in an expansion. So he had everything to go there back in the 90s. But then something went wrong with the team. That didn't happen. It was before the Vancouver Grizzlies appeared in the NBA. So that didn't happen. So, and this guy never played in the NBA. And we've had a couple of more players that went to the NBA draft process that practiced on teams, but didn't make it to the league. So Nimi being drafted, being the first guy, is something that we never even believed. And even guys that have been living and working around basketball their whole lives, like me, we just had our mindsets that it would be impossible for a Portuguese player to make it to the NBA because we never had that experience. So we didn't have hope. And the one thing good about Nimi is that he never heard everybody that told him, you won't make it there. It's impossible to make it there. You started playing too late. It's not for Portuguese. Our faith is never a good thing. We are always pessimists here in Portugal, so you won't make it there. And he just didn't care. He said, no, I'll make it there. And he worked his ass off, and then he made it. And when he made it, he went to a Utah State College. It's not a big college, so it's a mid-level college. And even then, he said, oh, okay, it's not the best college maybe to showcase your talent to the NBA. But suddenly he starts collecting achievements. He's Defensive Player of the Year every year in Mountain West. And then he was one of the four finalists for Defensive Player of the Year in the NCAA, the whole country, mm-hmm. more than 300 colleges, Division I. He was one of four players finalists for Defensive Player of the Year, with the other three being Davion Mitchell, that won the award, Evan Mobley, and I don't remember the other guy. So that was impressive. And then we started to believe, okay, he's being referenced with guys that are going picked on the lottery, going to be picked in the draft. Maybe a team thinks they'll need a big that can defend. Maybe they see an opportunity. But we didn't know if his offensive game was not very polished for the NBA, if he was considered just a one-way guy. So there were always lots of doubts, but doubts that because we historically never had a player in the NBA. And that's maybe the biggest reason I admire Nimi, because he never pushed back. He never quitted. He always kept working, and he made it. It's all on him.
Now, you see him as the player he is now, but you've known Nimi for a long time. When the Kings first got him, like, I watched him walk into like the press conference when he was drafted, and like he was in Sacramento and he's walking around, and I'm like, oh man, he's got a lot of work to do. I mean, he's huge. That is one gigantic young man, but you could tell like right away, like physically, that like he just needed a lot of work. And the transformation I've seen is crazy, because he no longer is dragging around his lower half. He's really worked hard on his core. He's trimmed down. He's absolutely ripped. You know, he's a guy who's taken this on as his profession. This is his job now, to be an NBA player. And I just want to know from your perspective, how have you seen him grow? Because like, it's got to be really interesting for you because you've known him since he was a kid.
Yeah, yeah. And as a kid, his nickname when he started playing was Broomstick, because that's all he was. He was just going around from up and down the court, just a guy that couldn't even, that didn't know how to run. He didn't know how to run. So he had to learn how to run, how to, he had to understand the game because his older sister was playing basketball. That's why he went to see the practices, and then a coach invited him to play because he was playing soccer before. To see him, to see the growth in him, to see how he has perfected his craft, how he works on his craft, the way that he understands that he can't be put in a box and someone tells him, you are going to be a rim protector, a defensive center, a defensive-minded center. And he doesn't want to be there. That one thing that I was maybe a little afraid was in the beginning of this season, in the Stockton Kings media day, he said that his goal for the season was to dominate offensively, just like he does defensively. I thought that was a risky choice of words, dominate offensively. And there you see it. It's me, because maybe I was a pessimist. Maybe I was trying not to see him. Don't reach that potential. But he sees it. He works on it, and he understands that he can be a different center if he develops some skills that normally centers don't have this developed, just like his passing skills. Something that happened in Utah State when Sam Merrill went to the NBA and suddenly Nimi was the centerpiece of the team, and the ball was always going inside when they got to the offensive side of the floor. And so he got double teamed every time, and with double teams, he gets reps and reps, being double team, and having to make decisions being double team. Okay, the double team is coming from the baseline. Okay, what I got to do? I got to look over my shoulder, try to see the guy in the far corner. It's coming from the top. Okay, what's the first pass I have? Is it the pass I want, or is it the pass the other team wants me to make? So that kinds of decisions, those reps that he had in college, was something that allowed him to perfect his passing decision, passing ability, passing technique, the timing of the pass. And that's a skill that I think he has that some centers in the NBA don't have. That's something I believe that can make a difference for him, because he's not an outside shooter, at least in volume. You know, he'll always try a three or two, and he can shoot. But you are not expecting Nimi to shoot or to score 4 or 5 threes in a game. You know that if he's open, he won't hesitate. He will shoot it. And if he scores the first, he will try the second one. But he is so obsessed with efficiency, not throwing the ball away, not making turnovers, not using the shooting the three, and maybe not doing the best play for the team, which could be allowing another guy to be open, understanding his gravity, the way that affects the other team, and then understanding what's the decisions he has to make. So is a very unselfish player. He knows he can attract attention, and with that, he can open the game for everybody else. And that's one of the things that when I was there, I realized talking with other guys, with Keon, with Wes, Iwundu, they really value his the ability of him not being selfish, his unselfishness, because they benefit from him being on the floor, attracting so much attention. They'll be open to shoot threes, to cut to the rim, and he will find a way to get the ball to them. So, and with that, they want to give him something to eat too. So maybe the next possession, it's the G League. They want to try to make it to the NBA. They, instead of maybe trying to force a drive to the basket, okay, he gave me the basket, the possession before. Let me give him the basket. Maybe try. He's got a mismatch. He's got to eat something too. And they give him the ball back. And that was something that I really liked about the Stockton Kings. It was a very unselfish team. So kudos to Bobby Jackson and all the staff on that team. And with Nimi, yeah, he's not a passing big like Sabonis. Nobody is like Sabonis. Yeah, you got Jokic
Sabonis, and Sabonis. And
you got nobody else. You got no other centers that can pass like those two guys. So when you got maybe that was one of the problems with the backup center position. Because nobody on the team can replicate what Sabonis does. And if the other guys on the backcourt, on the perimeter, are used to play with Sabonis, have reps with Sabonis, being such a great passer, and no one else can replicate that, yeah, maybe the team won't be able to play at the same level when another center enters the court. So that's a challenge for Mike Brown and the team to maybe have a plan A and a plan B, or maybe develop these centers to try to find some ability to replicate what Sabonis does, develop their passing game. And that's why I was very happy that Nimi spent all of the year in the G League, because the year before there was around 1 month, a month and a half, where he was on the main team, just clapping in the end of the bench. He wouldn't play. He didn't get reps. And this year, staying in the G League, and that's something lots of Portuguese didn't understand, because it was his second year. They wanted him to have more opportunities in the main team. But the best thing for him this year was to get those reps in the G League. And so we were very happy. And in the end, what did happen? He was the second guy in the MVP voting. He was an all-star. He wasn't there just to go back to Utah, his state where he was in college. No, no, he was there to play. He was the best guy on the Scoot Henderson team. He was the best player on the Team Scoot. And when everybody was there probably to see the G League Ignite guys, suddenly they were there and they were seeing Luka Garza on one hand and then Miyaz Kera on the other hand. So it was a good thing for him. It put him on the map. And I'm sure there are a lot of teams that if they didn't know who Miyaz was, after this year, they know who Nemeas is.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so he finished all G League first team. He finished all G League defensive first team, second in MVP balloting for the G League. I mean, he put up a huge season. I talked to Bobby Jackson about this just briefly, and he told me, he's like, what else could he do? Like, you sent him to Stockton to get better, to do these things. And he went out there and he dominated. He was spectacular this season. He was the reason why they were the one seed and why they had an opportunity to win the championship, even though they did have they lost by two. They couldn't find a basket late in a playoff game and fell apart late and lost early. But still, it was a lot because of Nimi. Now you actually had the opportunity to hang out with him yesterday. Or last night, right? So why don't you tell us what that was about and how that went?
Yeah, he's here for, I think, a week vacation. Came here to see his family. And even here in vacation, he's obsessed with working. So the first thing he got to do when he was here is find a few gyms where he could work every day. So he doesn't stop working even on vacation. And we were texting because I'm just finishing the editing of the reports and the interviews that I did there. They are going to be broadcasted here in TV during the NBA Finals, including James Ham's interview. That's included in those
amazing
pieces. So. So I was texting him and telling him, "Hey, I'm almost finished." About that.
We've lost. Oh, you're coming back.
Sorry about that.
You're back.
Okay.
Go for it.
I was texting Nimi saying, I'm just finishing the editing on the stuff I did in the USA. And he said, "Oh, well, are you on TV?" "Yeah, I'm on TV." "Yeah, man, I'm finishing my communications course. Maybe I can, one day I'll work on TV." And I was saying, "Yeah, you want to be new media, just like Draymond Green? Yeah, you want to? Are you sure you want to go on that route?" And he said, yeah, I gotta try it. Yeah, you wanna try it? You wanna try it tomorrow? Do you wanna come here? You wanna call a game with me? And my colleague? Yeah, why not? Really? Okay, let me just check with the editor in chief. And I'll try to arrange that. So I made a couple of calls, and so he went to the night news show, and then he stayed for the game, which started 1:30 a.m. here in Portugal, and it finished 4 a.m. And in Nimi, on the second half of the game, every time there was a timeout or between quarters and we had to leave for commercials, he said, man, I don't know how you guys do it. Man, I value the fans that stayed every night to watch me play till 6 a.m. In the morning, even more after this experience. Yeah. And he's obsessed with coffee. He loves coffee. So I think he had 4 coffees for the night. But it was a great experience because, of course, I was trying to pick his brain, trying to I was a little afraid maybe he was a bit conservative, trying to say some cliche stuff. But no, he really went in depth about both teams were doing. He had a massive laugh when Marcus Smart flopped, so that was nice. And everybody on Twitter was saying, yeah, we got Morgan Freeman. He has that low voice. Yeah, we got Morgan Freeman calling games here in Portugal. Yeah, we got it. And of course, Celtics fans were saying, no, Nimi's got to call every Celtic game until the end of the series because the Celtics are going to come back from this series. Yeah, it was a great experience. He loved it. And he's got one more year in his communication degree in Utah State. So he's trying to finish that. So maybe, and we hope maybe 10, 15 years from now, when his NBA career finishes, that's what we hope. Maybe he can think about starting a communication career.
Awesome. Okay, so we wanted to have you on for two reasons. Number one was to talk Nimi, because, of course, you are the foremost expert on Nimi Esqueda in Portugal. And again, you've known him since he was young. But the other reason is you mentioned early in the show that you call EuroLeague and EuroBasket stuff all the time, which means that you've crossed paths, at least watching and calling games with Sasha Vezenkov. Just where are you at with Sasha as a prospect? What have you seen that you like? And to me, the one thing I'll point out is that he just seems to keep getting better. Like, he was not a major league prospect like 3 years ago, and even last year he was an okay prospect, and it seems like this year he's just taken another step. What has been your impressions of Sasha?
Well, I've been calling games for 10 years, so it's been 10 years I've been calling EuroLeague games. I've been watching Sasha closely, and working here on the Portuguese Basketball Federation, I of course I am close to the Portuguese national team, and the last summer Portugal had 2 massive games against Bulgaria, and so we had Portuguese team. It was in February. So Nimi couldn't make it because he was there, but Vezenkov, he was playing for Olympiacos in the EuroLeague. He couldn't play the first game because he was having EuroLeague games, but the second game he came trying to help Bulgaria that really needed a win to qualify for the next stage, and Portugal won, and then Vezenkov was pissed. So I don't know if you will like to share the the locker room with Nimi, because Nimi will say, yeah, Portugal beat you guys. So, but I've been watching Sasha for a long time. He really developed for the past 6 years, since he's been in Olympiacos again, because he was born in Cyprus. I believe you know his story. He was born in Cyprus. He at 14 years old, he moved to Greece with his parents, and he started playing in Greece. And then Barcelona had him for a few years, 3 years. And then for the last five or 6 years, he's been in Olympiacos in Greece. And he's been developing immensely. In the last couple of years, he's passed from the bench to a starting role in Olympiacos. and played more and more consistently in this last couple of years. So it's been a tremendous development for him to be all EuroLeague first team for the last 2 years, and this year being the EuroLeague MVP was a tremendous achievement from him. I believe he can be a really solid player in the NBA. I don't know. I hear all the Sacramento-related podcasts. I've heard people saying maybe he can be a starter next to Sabonis if Harrison Barnes doesn't come back. Maybe he can come off the bench, play the four, maybe a small ball five. I don't think he can play small ball five. I don't know if he can play that role, but he's a tremendous spacer. He's shooter, a great, great shooter. He's got a quick release. He's a very high IQ player. For example, the past final EuroLeague Final Four last weekend in the championship game, which was a heartbreaker for Olympiacos. He played against Real Madrid that defended 2-3 zone for long periods of time during the game. And he was the guy on the free throw line extended, trying to get the first pass from the guards, and then trying to create, maybe creating for himself because he got a good mid-range shot, maybe passing to, skipping to the other side, trying to use the dribble. So he's been developed a lot. I remember his early career when the scouting reports said that he wasn't great creating off the dribble. Now he is a good creator off the dribble also. So, yeah, maybe there are some concerns about his quickness, his defense. Yeah, he's not a very lateral. He doesn't have a lot of lateral quickness maybe to the NBA level. He's a 6'9 guy, so he probably will be defending small forwards or power forwards. But he may have some trouble in the defensive side of the floor. But on the offensive side of the floor, he's going to be a tremendous player. He's a great, great shooter. You saw he shot from the logo, made a couple of threes in the second half of the game. The first half wasn't going very well in the championship game. And even on the semifinal, he was the best scorer in the team. But it was not one of his best games of the season. I've seen him do a lot better. So I hope people in Sacramento don't think that's the player they're going to get if he indeed goes there. But because the real Sasha Vezenkov is the one we saw on the final. And that was something that I was really impressed because he didn't hide away from the moment. He wanted to lead his team to victory, to the championship. Unfortunately for them, Real has all those vets that really know how to finish games, and Sergio Gil hit that incredible shot. His only 2 points in the game was the championship winning basket. So, but he's a great prospect. I think he can be a really good player in the NBA. I don't want to say role player because maybe in some teams he can be a starter, but for the Sacramento Kings, I think he can be a good role player. I don't know if he will start, but I see him as a guy coming off the bench, spacing the floor, and maybe depending on the matchups, maybe he can play with the starting unit. Yeah, because with Fox, with Sabonis, you guys need spacers on the floor, and having Kevin Herter, having Keegan Murray, two great shooters. If you add another guy like Vezenkov, he will space the floor even more for those dribble handoffs between Sabonis and Fox, for Sabonis driving to the cup. So he's a guy that can fit really, really well.
I love the honest assessment, like, because that's what I try to provide for people. Like, I watch Sasha play. Like, I've covered the draft for years. I've covered the NBA for 13 years. Like, you can tell what players can do and what they can't do and what their strengths and weaknesses are. And I think that he has potential to be a really good player, but it's in a very specific situation. And so I think it's interesting. Like how he works out, we have no idea. Whether he's going to come over, we have no idea. But it's good to get some insight on who he is as a player, and the fact that he's pissed, you know, at Mimi, you know, like I think that's funny.
No, I know. Mimi didn't play those games. Mimi didn't play.
yeah. Okay, so I want to finish up with this. I can't keep you all day. Well, I don't know. What time is it there? Here, it's almost 10:30.
6:30 p.m.
6:30 p.m. And you still got to – you might have a break here, right?
Yeah, tonight I'm going to go home, be with my kids, have dinner, and then I'll go to bed. That's something I don't do every day.
You'll sleep during the off season and when you're dead.
I can sleep. I can sleep really because there's no basketball, so I stay up all night. My body is accustomed to staying up, so I'm in bed. I turn to one side, turn to the other side, and then I watch to the at the clock. It's four in the morning. Damn, in 3 hours I gotta be up. So that was something that I noticed when I was there because my routine here is okay. I'm gonna call a game at midnight. It finishes 2:30 in the morning. I get home at 3. I get home. I still have adrenaline from calling the games. And I'll sit a bit, watch some West Coast game. Maybe it's the Kings. Maybe it's the Lakers, the Clippers. I don't care. The Trailblazers. I'll watch the games. And I watch the game. And occasionally I fall to sleep. When I was there and I was on the West Coast, I went to see games. It was, I don't know, 7 in the afternoon, 5 p.m., 7 p.m. Finished the game. I went to have a drink in the bar right next to the Golden One. And then I thought, okay, that's good. Now I'll have a drink. I'll eat something. And then I'll go home. And I'll watch basketball all night. I didn't realize. So I went home. And then there was no basketball. East Coast games were all over. West Coast games all over. What am I going to do from 10 p.m. until 4 a.m. in the morning when I finally sleep? So I don't know.
That's amazing. It's amazing.
So I went back. I went back to the bar. I went back to the bar and drank more.
You figured out America right there. You just figured it out. That's what we do. We just go back to the bar. I even built one in my house. I just go downstairs to the bar. Awesome. Okay, I'm going to finish with this question then. How much have you seen I like to call it the good people of Portugal. How much have you seen them grow as a fan base watching Nemias struggle and try to get himself into the league? Because I know that that's something that I've spent quite a bit of time trying to explain, trying to put perspective. And, you know, like I've done interviews with newspapers in Portugal. You and I have talked. We talk on Twitter. We talk about it on, I write about it on the King's Beat. We talk about it on the podcast. But what we're trying to do is make sure that people understand that this is a little bit like soccer, where you have your younger guys that are trying to make it to the big club, but they don't always make it right away. And sometimes they do make it, but then they get buried on the bench and you never hear from them again. Sometimes they get loaned out somewhere else. Like the NBA world is a little different. Especially when you see a guy put up, you know, almost 20 points and 10 rebounds and 4 blocks a game or 3 blocks a game, like everyone in Portugal is like, well, why isn't he just with the Kings, the big club, doing that same exact thing? But how much have you seen the growth and the understanding of the game change through the eyes of Nemi?
Well, I think, of course, like where, as everywhere else in the world, there are different kinds of fans that follow the game. So there are,
of course,
stay up all night. And in here in Europe, and I'm not talking only in Portugal, because in Portugal, West Coast games start at 3 a.m. in the morning. In Spain, which is just an hour from us, it starts at 4 a.m. If you go to Germany, it starts at 5 a.m. So we have bad luck, but still, that's not that bad because we are not the worst here in Europe regarding schedules. So, but of course, people have to work in the morning. So most people can follow games live. Some wait and they have league pass or they see it on TV here in Portugal. They go home and they put it back. They play it back the whole game. But most people, of course, they watch highlights only. They check box scores and they try to take conclusions out of that. And that's not fair for players because you see Nemi plays 27 minutes. Everybody goes to Twitter. He only played 27 minutes. Most players the most two-way players, the players with two-way contracts, they always play 32, 33, 34 minutes. Okay, but did you see the game? He had three fouls in the first half. So he didn't play because he had three fouls. So Bobby Jackson did have to manage his minutes. So, in this game, he only had seven rebounds. If he doesn't post a double-double every game, he's never going to make it. No, but did you see the game? He boxes out. He boxes out and he allows his teammates to get the rebound. So you have to see the games. You have to see the games to understand the work he does. He doesn't get he had a game, 38 points, 18 rebounds against the Warriors with James Wiseman playing. Everybody was saying, yeah, they beat the number two pick in the draft. So, yeah, the Namia Ikeda. We heard the Hoop Collective with Brian Windhorst and Tim Bontemps and Tim McMahon talking about Namia because he trashed James Wiseman. And then people hear that podcast and Namia is being talked in national podcasts. We got the Windy talking about Nimi. Why doesn't he go to the main team? Alex Len isn't playing for almost 30 games. Why isn't Nimi playing? So it's really tough, and I don't judge them because it's a special. We can't not everybody can see the games every single night. Yeah. Not everybody can do it. So only if you see the games, you understand. And even people who see the game, and you know, I see every single game of Nimi, even if it's my day off, I see every single game until 6 a.m. in the morning. And there are lots of people that don't work like me, don't have the privilege to work like me, basketball-related work, and they don't sleep and watch Nimi. And when he doesn't play, yeah, they get frustrated. They think maybe he should play more minutes. Yeah, I understand that because it's the first guy in the NBA. We are the little country in the Europe, in the tail of Europe. The guys that always get beat in basketball, that have soccer, that have a big star in soccer, and people think, yeah, we have Cristiano Ronaldo, the guy that made it, had a magnificent history, made it from this small country, and now is a superstar. Nimi is a small guy. He went to the NBA. People think he has to be a superstar. No, he's a great defensive guy. He doesn't have to be defensive player of the year. Yeah, he was a great defensive guy in college. Yeah, maybe the big accomplishment will be get two contracts in the NBA, three contracts in the NBA. If he makes it 10 years in the NBA, that will be a great achievement. And sometimes we are surprised. He was second most voted in the MVP. I wasn't expecting that. And I work in basketball. Yeah, then I understand. Okay, they were the first team, in the best record in the regular season. Of course, that had impacts in the voting. But I wasn't expecting that because people normally, historically, give this kind of awards to guys who score a lot, who have big numbers. Yeah, he had good numbers, but there were guys that scored way more than him. There were guys scoring 40 points almost every night. So, yeah, I wasn't expecting that. So I'm just like you. I'm trying to balance this because I want to inform people, don't want to hype them up too much. So, I post Nimi stuff. I want everybody to see. Nobody can lose what Nimi does. And that's why I keep posting everything about Nimi. On the other hand, I know I have to be very, very careful with the words I use because if I hype them too much, people will start tagging the Sacramento Kings, saying that Mike Brown doesn't like him, saying that Alex Len doesn't play. How come Nimi is not playing in front of Alex Len? Yeah, you gotta understand that everybody is grinding. Everybody's trying to get a chance. Yeah, Richard Holmes was in the starting unit. He came out of the rotation. That doesn't mean he is not someone that the staff is taking under consideration to play in some games, because in some games he will be a guy that his skills will be highly appreciated and be needed by the team. So Nimi had his shot. He had his opportunities. He played well in his opportunities. He didn't do everything well. And that's something it's difficult for people to see because you have to see the games. Because if you wake up in the morning, you go to the boxcar, you see he played 10 minutes with the Lakers. How did he do? He played, you made 10 points against the Lakers, 5-on-5 on field goals. Let's see the highlights. 5 dunks. Yeah, he defended LeBron and they got a steal and there was a fast break and he dunked. Wow, how doesn't he play? How doesn't he play alongside Sabonis? Yeah, he doesn't play alongside Sabonis because Sabonis played with Miles Turner, which is a guy that can space the floor, and that didn't work. So he won't play against with Sabonis. Sabonis won't be playing with another big man that doesn't shoot. So that's something that we try to explain. Obviously, we want people to be excited. We have our Portuguese guy in the NBA, but we have also to inform him. I don't use the expression educate them, but inform them about what Nini is doing and trying to make sure everybody is taking out their Portuguese glasses and trying to see everything and trying to see that, yeah, for example, I said that lots of times during this year calling games. Alex Len is Ukrainian. His father was lost. He couldn't find the contact with his father for 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah. He was there working every day. Mimi told me he was working every day, never complained, never said nothing, didn't play, was in the end of the rotation, out of the rotation, but he was working his ass every day. And what I try to tell people is put yourself in Mike Brown's shoes. You see a guy that doesn't know, he has a war in his home country, probably his beloved ones. Some are being highly affected by what's happening in Ukraine. He doesn't know nothing from his father for 2 or 3 weeks. Of course, he's concerned with that. Maybe he shouldn't even be practicing. He should be trying to try to find a way to help his family. No, he's practicing every single day. The Kings make it to the playoffs. They have an opportunity maybe to give some minutes to guys that weren't playing so much. I understand he's playing Alex Len. His commitment has to be recognized. Yeah, yeah, of course, of course. And so that's something I try to do. Inform people, trying to make them see, yeah, Mike Brown was coach of the year. How can you say he's not a good coach because he doesn't play Nimi? The team didn't make it to the playoffs for 17 years. They are third place in the West. They have the Lakers behind them. They have the Clippers behind them. They have the champions, Warriors, behind them. How can you say he's a bad coach? Come on. So that's what I was trying to do this all this year for people that maybe needed a bit more explanations. And Nimi did his job. Okay, he had his opportunity. He did a good job. You know. And he, of course, he has something he has to work and be better. He came to the G League and did his job, did his numbers, was not selfish, played within the system of the team. He says that Bobby Jackson, Mike Brown, they are always talking about what he has to do, what he has to get better, what he's been doing good. So he understands that the staff in the main team is looking at him and he sees that his work is being recognized and being valued. And that's the most important. So he feels that he's done everything he could to show that he has developed and that he did everything that he could to make it there, to make to trying to get a spot in the rotation. But you know the business of the NBA, and that's something Nimi understands. One of the questions I asked him in my one-hour interview I did there is, yeah, you see a lot of guys you played with get waived, get traded. Are you ready if Wojnarowski or Shams breaks the news? Yeah, Nimi is getting, he's getting traded to somewhere else. And he said, yeah, why should I, shouldn't I be ready? It happens to literally everybody. So yeah, I'm ready. It might happen one day. So he's incredible. He's the way he's matured and the way he's ready for everything that happens and the way that he doesn't get frustrated with something that he could have thought that it doesn't go the way that he expected. It's something that I really appreciate about Nimi. And so that's why I'm completely sure that he will make it because he just doesn't give up. Maybe it's the Sacramento Kings, maybe it isn't, but he will make it.
All right. I agree. I fully, like, he's got the body, he's got the work ethic. You know, I he's got a lot of intangibles, and I dig him. He's a great young dude. I like doing the little videos where I'm like, hey, talk to the good people of Portugal. And he starts speaking in Portuguese. I love it. And people are like, oh my gosh, you even know what he says? I don't know what he says. Like, I have no idea. Like, I think you've even like transcribed one or two of them for me. Like, hey, this is what he said. Like, oh, sweet. Okay. That's cool. Yeah. Like, I'm sure he's not going to say something silly and then have it go.
No, he won't,
of course. So, all right. Hey, man, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. Thanks for taking time out of your day. I know your life is chaotic and crazy, but thanks for jumping on, and we'll get this thing up, and it's good. We're doing something different here at the Kings Beat. We're going to start doing interviews like this, and we'll go all over the map if we have to bring in some interesting guests so people have a little bit of a different perspective on what's happening in the game. So Ricardo, thanks for coming on it and being our test subject with the new interview segment of the Kings Beat.
Yeah, thank you so much for the invitation. I'll always find time for you. Maybe it won't be the schedule you want, but I'll find some time. Okay. So you can always count on me.
All right, so that is Ricardo Brito Reyes from Portugal. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for tuning into the Kings Beat podcast. We'll see you very soon.